my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Dave, you are so good usually, but that poker voice just gives you away. So our good friend Jack is taking us back, Dave, to 1992, and it's apparently an action film, Dave. It stars, Dave, Norris, McQueen, Swayze, none of them are the real people, basically. This is the Wish version of Chuck Norris, Patrick Swayze, and Steve McQueen. It is their siblings, Dave, whether it be brother, son, fucking, I don't know, somebody adopted, I don't fucking know. Anyway, this film is on Amazon Prime, Dave. It's set in 92. It's called Death Ring. So, Dave, I did feel as if there was death in my fucking ring when I was watching it. Have you ever heard of this movie?
Yeah, it's like last night's Vindaloo. So, honestly, the only reason I'd heard of this one is because it appeared in our sort of Patreon chat, didn't it? And people were saying, you know, I think Tony and Jack were discussing it. And I was like, holy shit. And you do that thing that everyone does. You're like, Norris, as you've said, Swayze, you know, McQueen. McQueen?
Yeah.
All right. We'll go with McQueen as well. Drago as well. And you're like, fucking hell, this is a potential gem. And then you find out it's not actually any of the real people. But you can absolutely see what the tactic is. This is straight to video. And you know, definitely not of the gem variety. You know, it's straight to video and deserves that. And you're like, oh, you've deliberately chopped off, you know, you've used the siblings, but, you know, you've chopped off the first names. So people just browsing in the video shop, they wouldn't know. They just go in. Even in last week, and I'd kind of forgotten. I'd watched the trailer and I thought, oh, this looks great. But you were saying, oh, yeah, this Chuck Norris film.
Yeah, I've not even realised it.
Like, who the fuck's this? So, yeah, and it's a weird point in time thing, isn't it? Because you'll never get that sort of movie being made again, because you're not going to lure people in the video shop, you know, and go, oh, I recognize these names. Christ, we need to have a watch of this one. You know, I still love the fact they've got Drago in there as well. And like you say, it's a character name, but yeah, Drago as well. He'll go in and, you know, people won't be thinking, they'll just see the names. Yeah, this looks like a great action film. Can't believe I missed this one at the cinema. So yeah, I'd never seen anything like it before. I hadn't seen this before. It's not true. I've seen plenty like it, and it's just that classic sort of straight to video action nonsense film, isn't it? So yeah, it gives you that nostalgia to bring you back to that time. And we've done a few of these before, haven't we? Lots of them, actually. So that's it. It's like that nostalgic feeling, and like I say, it was amusing to think back how the, you know, this is probably one of the only points in time where you could get away with what is essentially, Chris, a scam.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Dave, I'll tell you what. So what I'd say, Dave, someone is actually getting the VHS Strikes Back match ball crossed over with the Comics in Motion podcast, Dave. So Branscombe Richmond is the guy who has a fight at the start of Harley Davidson, the Marlboro Man, with Don Johnson at the pool table. I mentioned him. He was in a classic TV show I loved called Renegade on Sky with Reno Raines, whatever he was called, the character. I absolutely loved that show. But, Dave, So this is the second movie we've done on the VHS. However, Dave, he gets the ball, the trifecta, because he was also one of the henchmen in Batman Returns, Dave, which you don't really see him because he's dressed up, but he is one of the characters who Batman fights pretty much at the start of the movie. So yeah, he's getting the match ball today. Billy Drago's second attempt on the VHS because he was in one of my favourite films, Dave, one of my favourite scenes as well, Untouchables.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And Don Swayze for just being Patrick Swayze's squash face brother. And John Swayze looks like if me and you tried to draw Patrick Swayze, and that's what we came up with. He's absolutely got a classic fucking wish face, hasn't he?
You know, I could just, I wonder how much he dined on the fact that he was Patrick Swayze's brother. You know, I mean, especially like, you know, in the early 90s or whatever, you know, Patrick Swayze comes into like a bit of a party or something and all the girls are swooning and then Don Swayze comes in. There's my brother. Oh, right. Yeah. Go away. Go stand over there. It's weird how he does have that likeness, but he's almost like a spitting image puppet representation of that's Patrick. What I mean.
He's like too good a lookalike, isn't he? It's like, I can't explain it. And even the fucking hair, he's got full on Dalton haircut in this, hasn't he, as well? It's just, it's so fucking bizarre, like, to see him. And you can tell he's his brother, but I fucking pissed myself laughing for every time he come on the screen this movie, and I'm not even getting into it yet. I'm just laughing, going, it's just ridiculous how much he looks like his brother, but then also doesn't, if you know
yeah,
what I mean. Like, it's fucking weird. Yeah, we'll get into that probably when we talk about it. But Dave, getting back to me, I have never seen this movie. And like you say, I fell for the old fucking switcheroo last week. I'm like, Chuck Norris even said it on the trailer. And you're like, actually, Chris, it's not Chuck Norris. It's his son who, let's be honest, Dave, let's talk about this. In fact, no, I'll save it until we get into the fucking movie. But I have been looking forward to talk about this one because it is on Prime, as I said at the top of the show. Let's not hope the curse of the VHS strikes back gets it struck off. It probably should be struck off, and we'll talk about that. But it is there available if you've got Prime, guys. So, yeah, and it is difficult to find other than that online, Dave. So, yeah, I thought it might be a YouTube special. And the only version I could find was a fucking German one with German fucking dubbing, and I couldn't even switch it to the UK on YouTube. So I couldn't find one at the moment. I thought this is Prime YouTube Lauren Avedon range of movies.
Yeah. It's probably one of those bizarre things where it's actually quite popular in Germany, you know, like David Hasselhoff,
yeah. The thingy wall, the Berlin Wall? David Hasselhoff's there fucking singing on it. That's the most random shit ever.
Random fucking random thing, right? So I was at parents' evening for my daughter and, you know, chatting to the history teacher about how she's doing. And, you know, the daughter's there, so kids go to parents' evening these days. I remember parents' evening, Chris. It was a fucking nightmare because I was used to shit it. I mean, there was a few years where I was quite good, and then kind of about 14 or something, it wasn't. And so I was always shitting it. And, yeah, always came back and was, you know, sort of laid into. But history teacher... You know, I mean, he's been encouraging, and he says, my daughter is like, so one of the things is like the Cold War, you know, so, you know, in between the sort of Second World War and 89, I guess. And he's saying to my daughter, he goes, it's easy for me and your dad because we lived through it. I'm like, all right, fucking steady. You fucking history teacher. Stay in your lane there. Period drama, you know, set back, you know, all those years ago. I'm like, fuck off.
That's fucking brilliant. That's we're in deep trouble, aren't we?
Yeah. Anyway, Chris, should we get into our trailer?
We will do, old man. Let's go. Norris.
McQueen. Swayze. Drago. Death Ring. It's the deadliest game of them all.
So the next time you guys are standing around the water cooler debating who is more macho... Now you know. It's Matt Collins.
He can carry his weight on the course.
That's our man. Bring him back alive.
Defend himself.
Inform the guests.
In a brawl.
Go ahead.
The games are on.
And he knows how to score. But this time, it's different.
We got over a dozen missing persons we think they're responsible for.
We are 150 miles from the nearest coastline. Just barely. A dot on the navigational charts.
Still out of your jurisdiction?
Yes, God damn it.
Well, it ain't out of mine.
A toast to the hunt.
He's about to enter the death ring against five lethal adversaries.
It's not very sporty now, is it?
You already have your weapon, Mr. Collins. You have your brain.
It will take more than luck.
What'll happen to him? Trust me. You don't want to know.
More than skill.
I'm on him. We are all hunters, and each of us is the prey.
More than strength.
You get the position?
You're in the northeast quadrant.
Because this time he's fighting for his life and hers.
Must make this realistic.
Where are you going?
War games.
Now the hunters are about to become the hunted.
What about our agreement? I've beaten the game.
I think the game should go into sudden death.
In a game that only one man can win.
Cut his throat. And the winner of the next round gets to keep the girl.
Because only one man can wear the ring.
Guess who?
It ain't over till it's over.
Bitch.
And now it's their turn to enter the circle and take up the challenge.
Ladies first.
Death Ring. Mike Norris. Chad McQueen. Don Swayze. Billy Drago.
Good hunting, gentlemen.
Death Ring.
Ex-Green Beret Matt Collins is kidnapped along with his fiancée, Lauren, by the crazed hunter extraordinaire, Danton Vax. Every year, Vax holds a contest where people can purchase the right to hunt down and kill human beings. This time, Collins is to be hunted while Vax uses Lauren as motivation for him to fight for his life. Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Well, Dave, as always with Wikipedia, someone's done a better plot than what the fucking movie was portraying anyway. And this movie's got no fucking trivia. No, I want you to read out the trivia that we the one bit of trivia on IMDb later, but there is nothing on this movie, Dave. I don't even know where to start, Dave. Have you got anything?
Well, well, what I would say is we've seen this type of thing done many times, haven't we? I can't remember what it is. I'll look up while you're speaking a bit later, probably. But there was an old kind of novel written, I think. It was Dangerous Game or something like that. But it's kind of like Running Man, isn't it? You know, that idea of the rich elite hunting someone down and, you know, kind of trying to kill them and stuff to get their kicks and what have you. But Chris, I thought, you know what, I was feeling a little bit smug. I'm like, you know, I'm hip, I'm down with the kids, I can use latest technology and stuff. I'm gonna go to ChatGPT and see if I can write a little synopsis here, so, you know, to just like be a bit more creative, because like you say, there's just not that much out there. And so, I mean, the one trivia thing has that, you know, this movie was made up of siblings of other famous better actors. That's the best thing they've got. But so I types into ChatGPT, Chris. I types, give me a synopsis of the first act of Death Ring 1992. And it comes back and it says, well, first of all, it gives me a title, which I thought was a bit weird. Title, Death Ring 1992. Act 1, Frisbee Fury Unleashed. In the not so distant. Right? Stay with me. Because I don't know what it is done here, but In the not-so-distant future of 1992, Death Ring has taken the world by storm. Not as a mysterious frisbee, but as an underground extreme sport that combines lethal precision with disc-throwing mayhem. The story kicks off with our unsuspecting protagonist, Jake Maverick, a washed-up former frisbee champion turned pizza delivery guy, stumbles upon a secret Death Ring tournament. Now, Chris, I don't know why the fuck ChatGPT has decided to create a fucking B-movie plot, but I want to see it.
That is fucking brilliant, and a lot better than fucking Death Ring, Dave. Whatever ChatGPT when we were younger, Dave, we could have had a fucking frisbee franchise. That is fucking brilliant. Absolutely yeah. brilliant. And so let me get into the movie, right?
Just a quick question there, but there is more. I mean, I'm kind of intrigued. I might do it after we finish recording, but I might need to find out what happened. I might have to ask ChatGPT, you know, a bit more about, all right, what have you got for the second night then?
This is the screenplay we've been looking for, Dave, so we can retire. Frisbee fucking mayhem. What the fuck?
Frisbee Fury Unleashed.
Well,
we do know a few writers, don't we? We should maybe work with Tony and develop this.
Well, it could be a rip-off of Dark Angel, because he was throwing CDs at everyone, wasn't he?
This is true.
It could be an updated version with a plastic frisbee. Anyway, back to the movie. So what is the talk, Dave? We start off, and the main character, fucking Matt Collins, is he's doing a fucking triathlon of sorts, right? But he's doing it in his fucking combat pants. He's a fucking Adidas Samba flat fucking trainers, which would kill you running on them surfaces. And I don't feel funny. I mean, Chuck Norris has got a full head of hair, hasn't he? Mike Norris, he's holding on for his fucking Ivan Drago flat top for his dear life in this. But what gets me is, right, Mike Norris is from Chuck's first marriage. And obviously, for me, Mike Norris, and when Chuck, well, actually, I'm going to keep saying Chuck Norris a lot, probably, but I reckon that when Mike shown his dad this movie, Chuck Norris sat there and went, you know, I'm watching this, son. And he goes, yeah. He goes, remember all them time when you sat there and said, I'm not coming to fucking martial arts practice? Well, you fucking should have done, because he's the shittest martial artist ever. And having a fucking heritage of one of the greatest fucking kickboxers, and I mean professional kickboxers ever, a martial artist. And I've called out Chuck Norris in the past because I've said, because he was a real fighter, a lot of his kicks, because he's pulling them back, they don't look like a Van Damme or an Avedon or even Kiefer Tarley. He obviously is fucking tough. I watched a thing yesterday. He's training with one of his other sons, 82 years old. He got him in a fucking chokehold, jiu-jitsu. And his mum's, Chuck Norris's mum's still alive. They have 103. She's celebrating a birthday this week, 104. And it showed him with his mum. And he still trains. So Chuck Norris, his nails. I've watched a video recently, well, a couple of years ago, with the Gracie family who created all the jiu-jitsu, and they come to Chuck Norris's dojo, and it's on YouTube, and he gets humbled, Dave. He gets absolutely put on his back and choked out, like, you know, because he can't defend it. Well, from that point, Chuck Norris was late 50s. He's now like a fucking fifth fucking Dan jiu-jitsu master, because he was so humbled. He'd always fought kickboxing, karate. You know, I loved reading something. So getting back to that, so like Chuck Norris, I always say he always looks weird. You can see he looks like he's pulling his punches in his earlier films, because he probably is, because he probably twatted a few people while he was doing these things on, you know, by mistake. Mike Norris has never done martial arts in his fucking life. He was the petulant kid who probably hated his dad and went, I'm not doing this shit. Did fucking martial arts till he was about six, and then give up and just sat in the room in the corner fucking eating fucking Haribo or something while his dad was doing all these fucking classes, because he cannot throw a punch or a kick to save his life. And I would be disgusted. I would have changed my name if my dad was Chuck Norris in this movie.
What? That is the whole point. That's the whole fucking ruse.
Chuck must be saying to him, look, can you not take your mum's fucking maiden name when you're doing these movies? I don't want to be associated with him. He looks nothing like him anyway, but his style of fighting and why they've gone with him, I reckon they should have gone with Don Swayze as the lead, Dave. Just go full on rip-off, because Mike Norris is bobbins in this. He's absolutely shit.
Well, I do think Mike Norris. In fact, they speak about the movie rather than the film or the actual in like the plot. Chris, you might be surprised to know that Mike Norris produced this film, so he paid for it, and it is written by, or co-written, I should say, by George T. LeBrun. This is obviously, he's not doing a whole LeBron thing there, whose only writing credit I could find was this movie. So can't find anything else. But George T. LeBrun and Mike Norris. He's basically paid for it and written probably most of it, you know, and got his mate in, whoever the fuck this George T. LeBrun is. And yeah, it shows, because you're right. I mean, the martial arts is substandard. That it doesn't even have like a body or anything like that is fitting for an action movie. And it just doesn't look like a lead man, does he? And yeah, it's just wonderfully shit. It's just like you've gone to the local mall, looked around and gone, all right, well, this guy here who works on security, we'll get him to come and do this movie. It's bizarre. I mean, even people who don't have the kind of martial arts moves, I mean, people still think, like, you know, old Danny LaRusso for Karate Kid. But he looks like someone who belongs in movies, doesn't he? Whereas Mike Norris doesn't, and I think the only way he could get a lead part in a movie is basically by paying for it himself.
Well, yeah, that's a very good point, isn't it, Dave? That's like that. He's like giving it off. I saw it the other day. I don't know how. What's the fucking film with that guy?
Tiger Claws 3?
No, nothing to do with... No, the one where he's got the long hair and he's we've covered it. It's that ridiculous movie. It's about 50, and the sex scenes are in it are worse than fucking Samurai Cop. Oh, Dave, what's it called?
The Room.
The Room. So it's like him in it, where it's like,
look, The Room.
I don't know. I saw someone put, there was someone who put The Room
That's
yesterday.
That's a great story.
Yeah. I'm going to sleep with all the women in this movie. Yeah, of course you are, because you're fucking directing it. Yeah, I'm only 25.
You're making me want to watch The Room now.
Oh, fucking disastrous film that was. But no, someone had put the Room, his face, on an N64 cart game and said there was a game. And I'm like, there's no way there was a game. It must be a piss take. But Mike Norris has gone to this. You've got Chad McQueen, who was in Karate Kid, actually was one of the fucking, you know, he was one of Cobra Kai, Dave. He can throw a punch. He can kick Skylord in this. He can kick. He can do it all, Dave. Steve McQueen's son. Why didn't you go with him, Mike Norris? You've basically trying to pull a fucking, you know, just because of your name and, like you say, because you're fucking, you've written it, doesn't always mean you're the right person to star in it, pal. You know what I mean? It really is. Poor casting. Dom Swayze or Chad McQueen should have been the lead stars in this, and you'd have bought it as a B movie. Or the guy who's the helicopter pilot is him. That's him. The helicopter pilot is Chad McQueen.
Yeah. So, I mean,
he's a good looking guy.
He can actually do martial arts, but I think you're missing the point. It's like the kid with the football, you know, who has to go up front or something. You know, it's just you've got to play the game if you want to be part of it, don't you? So, like I say, he's stumped up the cash for this thing so that he can play this crappy role. But yeah, I must admit, I was more impressed by Chad McQueen, who, interestingly, you know, these days looks more like Mike Norris.
Yeah, he does. I watched Car Things, because they found the bullet car, you know, at the movie, and they've done it up. It's actually been done up and renovated. It was in a field or a barn somewhere. And I've watched loads of documentaries on him, Dave, and he looks like his dad, but But then obviously, like you say, he does look like Mike Norris as well. He's had a hard life by the looks of it. And that's not being, I'm saying I'm an oil painting. Let's just throw that one in there. But yeah, this Norris fucking character is fucking shit. I'm looking at his filmography, Dave, and he's basically just rode on the back of his dad's movies. I'm not saying I wouldn't do the same, you know, if I had a son and they were in the movie, you would try and get him involved. But I've got to say, Dave, acting's not for him. No. It's not. He's fucking bobbins. He's absolutely bobbins. I'm glad Jack's picked this on. But the story's dead thin as well. So he's a Green Beret, Green. So we know he's got a bit of fucking about him. He can fight, you know, he can survive potentially. And then we get this shit fucking Running Man thing where his missus, you know, quite pretty, his missus, you know, they get captured. And then you've got Drago, you know, Billy Drago. Yeah. So he's Danton Vax, he's his character. And he always is a baddie. He was in Pale Rider, Clint Eastwood, Untouchables. I love him in Untouchables. He's one that Costa throws off the
really
top of the building.
Iconic in Untouchables, brilliant. Isn't he?
The white suit in the courthouse. He's the one who kills Sean, you know, he's part of what Sean Connery's address and kills him and everything. I love it. He's such a good baddie. And he's not bad in this, but I don't think the hair does him any favours, Dave. I think he should have gone full on Untouchables. Black hair, keep it long, you know, really thingy. But you've got all these like weird women around him. Like, he's not convincing in some respects in this. Well, I don't think anybody is, but I can't explain the movie and go, it sort of twigged about halfway through. It's a bit of a Running Man ripoff, but it takes a lot to get to the point and also get to the point where I actually give a shit about Mike Norris, basically, and his missus, because it's like Robert Palmer fucking Addicted to Love. He's got all these women henchmen around him with slick back hair. Yeah. Someone's watched the video and gone, this will be perfect for a movie.
That is, by the way.
Oh, fucking set. I remember watching it as a kid, Dave. That was definitely a cushion fucking job. That was sexy as fuck. Proper sexy. I'm getting a stirring now, Dave. But yeah, oh, I used to love the video. Robert Palmer definitely enjoyed himself. But no, it doesn't. The leaps in the movie are just not right. And you're right, Mike Norris just hasn't got the build. I mean, Chuck Norris isn't exactly ripped up. He was in the Odd Film, but he got away with it because he was just tough, wasn't he? He never really, like, you never see him like a full-on top-off in a lot of the movies. He was just like, he had that frame, he could back it all up. This Mike Norris character, like, I mean, it's his fucking son. He must have got the genes off his mother, Dave, because fuck me, he's fucking terrible. Like, he's absolutely shit. And the fact he wins that triathlon and the people in it look super fit. And I'm like, oh, fuck off. You know what I mean? Like,
it's just a mole cop, isn't it?
isn't it? I used to be a contender. Yeah, it's fucking nonsense, isn't it? He's using the cannon fodder in his old body.
Have you seen that video someone's put together? And it's the bit from Way of the Dragon where, you know, Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris are lining each other up, eyeing each other up, and then they start like taking their top off and stuff, and but they're not breaking eye contact. And someone's put it to the music of Careless Whisper. I'll have to send it to you. It's quite funny. It very much changes the tone of that movie. Especially when Bruce Lee starts to, you know, do some stretches and touch his toes and stuff. But so, yeah, old Mike Norris. The thing is, Chris, he's not a likable character.
No.
You know, old Matt Collins there is a massive fucking dick. Like, it seems like he's a Green Beret, but he's a bit frustrated because he just hasn't killed enough people. And he's also got this massive hang-up because his lovely girlfriend, Lauren, earns more money than him. And he just treats her like shit. And they end up, you know, having a bit of a fumble there. And then he disappears in the morning like it's some one-night stand or something. Yeah, having a little sorry note. It's like, what? But it's your fucking girlfriend.
I didn't understand that at all. It was just like... I didn't get it. And the thing was, Dave, every time Skylord was on, Skylord Harris, you know, Chad McQueen, it was just absolutely stole the scenes for me when he introduces him to his missus. Oh yeah, he's great, he's fucking pilot. And she's like, are you sure? You know, when he's in the bar and everything, and he's like, he's trying to be so not cool, but he's got something about him, and he's got a little bit of something about him. And it's like every time he's on the screen, him, Chad McQueen, he just looks like the lead character, doesn't he? He looks like yeah. he does, and to be fair, he has quite a big part of the movie, doesn't he? I mean, there's a lot of that stupid, he's looking over his shoulder in obviously a fake helicopter, like he's flying like fucking one-handed or something, with his eyes closed. Airwolf, yeah. And there's a lot of stock footage, but he for me, he was like the main character that I wanted to sort of vouch for, and I would have gone with that if he'd have been Matt Collins. I'd have believed that, and Don Swayze had believed it because he was in good shape as well. But whenever, like you say, when Matt's there, he treats like shit. And when they get captured, it's like something like they could get away, but it ends up being something like some fucking daytime TV show. And you know, when they just come and go, oh, you're coming with us. Oh okay then. And then they've been kidnapped. I don't know, and I don't fucking care really, Dave, because I'm just like, I do care, but I just like, I don't get it. I don't get what they were going for here, because when you're billing these people up and they've got family who are more famous than them, do you think when they're sat round in like the fucking trailers and that, they're going, you know what, this will be me leapfrogging Don Swayze, I'm going to leapfrog fucking Patrick now with this movie, definitely. Or Chad McQueen's going to go, this is going to be better than Bullet, this, definitely. No one's going to remember me dad's car chase in the fucking Mustang around San Francisco. It's just like, they must know that they're getting the piss ripped out of them starring in these movies. They must.
I don't know. So if you think about it, you know, they know they're not dining at the top table. You know, old Don Swayze there, but he's kind of thinking, you know, he's got his own kind of confidence, if you like, and, you know, he kind of reads the script and, like you say, oh, this looks like a bit of a Running Man sort of thing, and I'm some kind of fucking Rambo in the woods. You know? So, and I can see on the script why you would think that would work. It's just, you know, we get to see the finished final product, don't we? We could say, yeah, totally doesn't work. But the essence of the story, like I say, it's been told many times, hasn't it? You know, someone ends up, you know, a killing machine. You know, they've underestimated him and, you know, he kind of gets killed. But the fact that he's not likable, and I'm trying to get into the head of Mike Norris, because it must be tough as well, mustn't it? When you've got this, you're growing up at a time and your dad is one of the toughest blokes on screen on the planet, you know, and he's done all these like actual martial arts, you know, all these kickboxing tournaments and everything. So you must have a real machismo sort of mindset, and this horrible way that he's treating his girlfriend is probably part of that. But also one of the lines, which honestly, it was like fingernails down a chalkboard because it was so bad. It was like, he goes, you can be the lamest, wimpiest geek, but if you got money, it's all that matters. What? And also, I feel personally attacked. But so, apart from the money bit. But I was just like, oh my God, is that like you projecting like your own machismo sort of mindset onto the world? And, you know, the geeks inherit the earth kind of thing, and that's a big problem. I just thought it was a bonkers line to put in there, but also just makes you really not like him. He's just a dick, and like I say, it's like me walking around fucking town or something, like I'm 10 men. Everyone should just laugh at me. Everyone should just laugh at Mike Norris, because it's like, look, you're no fucking Stallone or Arnie or anything on screen. Like I say, you're just this mall cop. There's a bit where he's running around and he kind of puts a little tiny bit of mud on his forehead. I'm like, what the fuck's that supposed to do? Is that your camouflage? But I just think it falls off massively. But the villains, I actually think Drago's you know, Hare is kind of okay. They're playing almost like a Bond villain, aren't they? And, you know, don't forget, it's the early 90s, isn't it? So the flowing locks and stuff. I can go with that. And I actually think he is not bad as your main villain there. But where did they get all the others from? The people who do the hunting. I'm like, it's not like the odds are stacked in your favor. So, you know, in one of these types of movies, you know, you get the big baddie and they're actually nails, aren't they? Or if you think like Enter the Dragon, you know, they don't do much, but behind the scenes, they're constantly training. They want to go up against the best fighters and stuff. There's one old guy who had like a sickle or something, you know, it's just,
yeah,
he'd already killed someone, and then out comes a line, which has to surely be a nod to Running Man. But Norris says something like, "How's the Iceman?" And this old guy's like, "The Iceman's melted." Fucking hell, that's terrible. So actually it was Batman and Robin, wasn't it, where Arnie was there. It was like
Mr. Freeze. Yeah, I was
thinking Running Man, but yeah Mr. Freeze. So that came later, I guess, so I'll let them off for that. Maybe they got it from this movie, Chris. But yeah, just they were all rubbish, so I never really felt like Mike was in any peril there.
No, and you're right. And like this whole thing with his missus, because and you say about the big bad, Danton, you know, Billy Drago's character, I thought we were going to see him and he was going to be like some fucking absolute, like a ninja or, you know, something, because he's got quite a slight frame and he looks quite fit. I thought maybe, he is, like you said, we're going to get that payoff of him, like his henchmen, you know, can't take him. They're the elite, but they've been taken out by Matt Collins. And then eventually he ends up having a one-to-one with him and it doesn't play out like that. And obviously, what makes me laugh, though, Dave, is when they keep just taking his missus from room to room in handcuffs or fucking tying her up or whatever. And they're just
fucking bizarre.
And she's got different outfits on in some of the scenes as well. So they've let her fucking get changed with a suitcase. But it's just weird. It's like, and then obviously his love interest, she's nails. But then what gets me is when they're hunting him and he has these fights and he finds fucking Don Swayze fucking hidden, doesn't he? Like, you know, he's John Blackwell, he's called. And that doesn't make any sense because he's obviously nails, but he's like them two guys off the Running Man. You know, when they say they won and they escaped and everything. Yeah, I was just going to say the name. I can't remember the fucking names now. But
Mueller or something, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Yeah, and then really the fucking corpses, aren't they, in the locker room? Yeah. Find them, like, or whatever they find later on. But it's like he's sort of there in a fucking cave, and I'm like, that's when I was crying laughing. When I see his face straight away, I'm like, this is an artist impression of Patrick Swayze when he's in court or something. It's like his face.
When you go to the seaside, you know, they do a caricature of you.
That's what I mean, that guy. Dave, I've had one done of them. My fucking nose is even bigger. But yeah, no, you're right. That's exactly what it is. It's like fucking, you know, like when the other month fucking Rooney was in court, what are you doing that thing with Rebecca Vardy? Like, Wayne Rooney, look at the pitch. And you're like, well, it's kind of Wayne Rooney. You know what I mean? I know he's put a little bit of timber on since he's retired. It's sort of him with a beard on, but it's not real. And that's what Don Swayze is. And I can't take him seriously, Dave, because he's in shape. He looks good. It's fucking bizarre. The best bit, the best bit of the film is, and I'm going to be Chris Phelps 101 here, Dave, Mr. Shoulder 101, is when fucking Skylord's with his missus, his love interest has got the greatest, well, not the greatest, but probably maybe the top five that we've seen in the VHS Strikes Back booby calls we've ever seen, Dave. Let's just say that. They are magnificent. 14-year-old Chris had been cowboy in that toilet seat by now, Dave. I tell you, fucking unbelievable.
I love the way he comes in. And she is wearing that weird fucking thing that you must have got off the equivalent of Ann Summers or something. You know, just I can't even, well, I can explain it. So there's nothing to the front of it at all, is there?
No.
And he's just like, oh yeah, I've got stuff to do. Sorry. Like, come on, mate. You can spare what 5 minutes, surely.
Hey, Dave, stop fucking boasting. I'd have been gone after about 30 seconds ago. Right, thanks for that. I'll see you later. You know, 100%, 100%, Dave, she's looked stunning.
But she's gone to all that effort. And it's not as if... It's not as if he's legging it frantically from room to room. Like, yeah, he's just like casually walking between the rooms.
Yeah. He's not like Ranga asking him, when, get me bag ready or get
it's all right, love. You know, not tonight.
Yeah, fucking no chance. But she does look stunning in that scene, Dave. My God, she is perky. She does. Let's just say that.
But going back to old Don Swayze there, I mean, playing John, I'm trying to wrap my head around the geography of it, because he's apparently been hunted before and they haven't found him, but he's still in the same patch of land
where they were hunting him. Yeah, no.
So he's managed to, like, I'm guessing, you know, he's done the old Bear Grylls, hasn't he? He's kind of found small animals to kill and eat, and he's living off the land and stuff, but... I mean, there's some big forest type areas in the US, but I mean, surely he could have found a town or something. You know, he's been out there for months or whatever.
To be fair, though, Dave, he found a fucking razor, because he's not got a beard or anything, has he? He looks quite fucking clean and everything. He's clean shaven, so he can't be that fucking desolate, can he? But he's like having a bout of fucking confidence in his Matt's like going fucking, well. Matt's trying to do John Rambo, isn't he? And like you say, the people in the game who are going after him, like one of the guys with I think it's the guy with the sickle, he just runs out of Danton's fucking office at full speed, going, rah! Like he's fucking rampaging to get Matt. And when he has a fight with him, this is when Mike Norris's fucking martial arts thing's like, look, if you just stayed behind class when you did actually attend with your dad, you'd look more convincing on screen. But when the bloke runs at him, and he sort of does like this, he catches him midair and sort of impales him, but then does like a B.A. Baracus throw,
yeah,
and throws him for miles, doesn't he? And the guy's on the floor dead. The guy's got blood around his mouth, which is even better, because he gets him in the fucking chest or the stomach. And then... it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. None of it makes sense. Well, while this is happening, though, Danton can hear outside Matt Collins is coming to get him, and he's fighting with his henchmen. What's he doing? Oh, well, he's having a bit with his fucking his side piece, and he's fucking basically slipping her one, not even bothered that he might get killed at some point. There's all this noise going on, and he's there just taking her clothes off in here. They're having a bit together. And then eventually he's like, Matt gets a message to run, he starts saying, he's like, oh, I think we have to do something about this. And it's nonsense, Dave. If someone was outside ready to kill me and they're trying to get in the place wherever I'm staying, the last thing on my mind, well, unless you think, well, it's the Last Supper, let's just have one last dalliance before I get fucking killed. But you would clearly be thinking, we need to get a plan together. But he's like, ah, oh, fuck that. And I think he was trying to be... he's like this maniacal baddie, doesn't care, you know what I mean? Nothing will faze him, doesn't care. His headspace is completely alien to us, the audience, but it doesn't come across well at all to me, Dave, and it doesn't have the effect I think the actor was going for, or fucking Mike Norris, who wrote fucking half of this disastrous film.
I wonder if they are trying to make the comparison, because obviously... talked about Sky-Lord, you know, he's focused on the mission, you know, his friend's in danger and he needs to do something. Whereas, you know, the baddie of the piece, you know, he's kind of like a bit, you know, he just does what he wants. He doesn't care. He's overconfident. You know, maybe that was the thinking, or maybe I'm thinking too deeply into that. But yeah, I think I must admit, Chris, I've kind of enjoyed talking about it more than I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, me too. I love when we talk about it. And Jack's done his job with his day, because I love when we get together and just like talk nonsense. But even the ending, Dave, the ending, fucking samurai sword and Matt's got fucking picking up different things, and he was like a fucking standard, a coat stand at one point, but he's like fighting with him. and they're having, and the sword fighting so choreographed. You know, it's not exactly Blade, yeah. is it? Or you know, something where it, you know, like we watched even Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds takes the piss, but the fighting in that, he's up against the swords, but it looks real, doesn't it? It looks like the summer, you know, we covered Equilibrium, you know, and it was brilliant Christian Bale. The sword fighting was brilliant, but the guy dies pretty similar. I mean, Equilibrium was a lot after this, but Drago takes one for the team, and it's a bit gruesome, let's be honest, but he does catch him across the front of the neck and slices him. Matt catches him when he eventually gets the better of him. But then his whole head falls off, Dave. He only slices like the vocal box there, and I'm not saying you wouldn't be dead. He was, but the next minute, Drago's head is on the floor. He's took the whole head off, but the actual effects doesn't show that he sliced his head off. It's not exactly the Highlander.
I think you're supposed to imagine that bit that he's actually so fast, like the eye couldn't see it, and he's just skimmed through his whole neck there, even though it just looks like he's got a minor paper cut on his neck.
Yeah, like when the Kurgan gets it in the fucking Highlander, you don't know he's done it, and it's so good. Like Clancy Brown is amazing, and also Dave, I've just seen that they're starting to release press stuff about Henry Cavill as the Highlander, so I probably will be watching that. It's coming out next year. Must be filming that later on this year, so it looks good. From what I've seen,
it's gonna be weird, you know, though, isn't it? Like, especially if he does an actual Scottish accent, you know,
hey, come on now,
as opposed to this French fucking weird accent, you know.
That's one of the greatest bits, ain't it? A Frenchman doing a Scottish accent, a Scottish actor doing fuck all and saying he's Portuguese and just not even changing his accent. Sean Connery was like, I'm not doing anything, I'm just being myself. And he just carried on as himself. I fucking love that with Sean Connery. Can you do any other accent? Can you do a Russian accent? Of course I can. Oh, yes, Miss Money Penny. Yeah, of course you can.
This is totally my Russian accent.
Can you do an Irish accent in The Untouchables? Of course
absolutely.
You can.
Yes.
Portuguese? Of course. Yeah, fucking nonsense, isn't it? He just topped the piss, didn't he? Fucking method acting, De Niro, my arse. Just do a Connery. Fucking don't give a fuck.
Oh my God.
Fucking brilliant. But no, this film is a shocker. But the ending again, Dave, there's no payoff. Matt sort of saves his girl, and these girls just sort of lay on a table in a lovely dress, Dave. There's not really any idea what they're going to do to her, really. Danton's sort of saying it. I'm sort of thinking they're going to attack her. There's just no jeopardy. And Don Swayze comes through, doesn't he, Dave, with a fucking with a whack as well. And like, is he dead? Yeah, he's fucking dead, 100%. See you later. But yeah. Bizarre movie, Dave. A 90-minute special, to be fair. The classic fucking timestamp of these sort of movies for me. But yeah, I love it. I love talking about it. Jack's done really well picking this one, Dave, because I've never heard of it. And it's obviously a cult classic, but...
Cult classic?
No, sorry. That was my accent. I should put an N in with where the cult should be. Get the L out, put an N in.
With that, Chris, C-bomb implied. Should we go into our final review?
Let's go. Dave, honestly, massive thanks to Jack again. The whole point of the Patreon and people picking is that it's just throwing these curveballs in. You know, we've had some shockers and then, you know, we've picked shockers ourselves, and mainly me on my, when I do double down. However, Dave, we'll see what the next pick is. But I've really enjoyed talking about it, but as a fucking movie, it is shocking. There is no real jeopardy. It's a Running Man ripoff with the snidest, smallest fucking cast we've ever seen. The baddie, Danton, is shocking. Billy Drago doesn't look like a baddie whatsoever. He looks like he's come off some fucking Spandau Ballet fucking video from the 80s and just fucking...
He'd do well in a Duran Duran video, actually.
Duran Duran, actually. Yeah, not Spandau Ballet. You're right, actually. Oh, just before I give him a score, have you watched the Kemps doing the parody stuff of themselves on the iPlayer, Dave?
No, but how have I missed that?
It's fucking brilliant. So there's two of them. Make sure you watch the first one. So it's Martin and Gary Kemp, and they are just taking the piss. Fucking Tony Hadley fell out of them anyway, there, but he's fell out of them even more. There's a new one they've just released, and there's one from 2021. Dave, it is brilliant. It's about 50 minutes on the iPlayer, both episodes are an hour, and they are, and Pepsi and Shirley are in it. I don't want to say anymore, but they just take the piss out of themselves. And honestly, the play that it's like a Brent, it's like The Office, Dave. You would love it. I've never suggested it. I watched it over Christmas. Sam's brother was telling me about it, and I was like, oh, I'm not sure. And me and Sam were pissing ourselves laughing, honestly. But make sure you watch me in order, because we watched the newer one and then went back and watched the older one. It doesn't really matter, but you'd be better watching the first one to get into the second one.
And
but
what's it called again?
It's just the Kemps. It's just
the Kemps. Right, okay.
Something like that, I think. I mean, I'll investigate as I'm stalling, giving my review, Dave. But
that's all right. I've got to say, I do love Martin Kemp and his son on Celebrity Gogglebox, because
Roman,
when he's talking about like getting on the job with his mum or something like that, his son's like, oh, you know, and ends up walking off or something. he does seem genuinely funny. So yeah, I'm definitely up for watching that one.
Oh, so I'm going to send it. It's like, the first one's called The Kemps All True, and that's the one from 2020. And then the second one is called The Kemps All Gold. And honestly, Dave, it's funny. It's really funny. Like, I really enjoyed it, because it is like The Office. There's loads of scenes like The Office. You know, that awkwardness of like looking at the camera. So I think you'd like it, because we love The Office. Some people might think it's Bobbins, but I really enjoyed it. So yeah, I'll give you a bit of viewing there, Dave, and see what you think. You might come back and go, Chris, it's shit. Anyway, talking of shit, Dave, this movie is Bobbins. So I'm going to send it to Alderon, Dave. It is a shock. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but it's a fucking shocking movie, with Mike Norris pulling every fucking card out just because he written the fucking thing. It's terrible. So great pick, Jack. I love talking about it. So much fun. But I'm never watching this again, Dave. So what about yourself?
Well, I might be a little bit of a hypocrite here, because I think Alderaan is, you know, it's reserved for those movies that you do never want to see again. And I think the chances of me watching this all the way through are pretty slim, if I'm honest. However, you know, Chris, I've enjoyed talking through it a lot. And when I was watching it, I was thinking, oh, God, this is, you know, I don't even think it's one of those that's so bad it's good. Like, when you watch Miami Connection, when you watch Samurai Cop, we talked about The Room there as well. When you watch those, you're like, oh my God, this is so bad. But, you know, there's something hypnotic about it, and you just can't, you know, you can't get your head around what it is, but you love it. This isn't that. But there is something about it, and I think it, for me, it starts off with the total ruse that this is all these are all relatives of good actors. You know, it's just but they've deliberately, if you look at the VHS covers, the different variants of that, they've deliberately cut out the first names so that, you know, you look at it and you just see Norris, Swayze, McQueen, and you're like, holy shit, this is the best film I've never seen. And then you put it on and you're like, what is this shit? I just think, especially in the, you know, the early to mid 90s, the amount of people who must have been fucked off and gone back to the video shop. Chris, I'm glad that, you know, if I was at Blockbusters, I can imagine I did have a few irate customers over the years who weren't happy with the movie. It's like, well, that's the gamble you take, isn't it? But anyway, yeah, so there is something about it that for me is going to keep it out of Alderaan. Having said that, don't mistake my enthusiasm for a recommendation to watch this movie. It is shit. It really is not good.
I love it.
The casting is terrible, but I can kind of get it, because, you know, old Mike there paid for it. So, you know, if you want to pay for a movie, star in it, knock yourself out. And I'm kind of glad that this movie exists and I now know about it, because, like I say, of the whole ruse. But he's definitely not a leading man. The action is terrible. The music is not great. The plot is, you know, just it's a Poundland version of, you know, so many other movies. We've talked about Running Man that did it so much better. But, yeah, I have really, really enjoyed this and talking about it. So I'm going to send it to Elm Street. It is free on Amazon Prime. So if you have a thing about shit movies like this, and we know a few people who do, so I think yes, for that intersection of society, yeah, I can see that some other people might like this as well, but for the mainstream, definitely not. But yeah, so Elm Street from me, Chris.
Brilliant. So Dave, it is my pick, my friend. Now, started off the year with Die Hard with a Vengeance, and enjoyed it, really did enjoy it, to be fair. It's somewhat different. I was listening back to it the other day about Lethal Weapon 2, and that will be there at some point because I've watched so many times. However, Dave, you know that my sweet spot is the early 90s, Dave. You know that for me, action movies were at the pinnacle. And I used to see a trailer for this movie all the time. You know, when I was watching one of the martial arts movies and everything, I'd be like, right, you know, I've got to get this fucking VHS. And it was never, ever in the video shop at all. And I was like, no, I really want to watch it. And then I watched it. And I've only seen it twice. I loved it. Is it like probably 12, 13 years old? Absolutely love it, Dave. It's got motorbikes, Dave. It's got fucking boobicles, Dave. It's got... The original guy who was casting the Terminator, Lance Henriksen, Dave. It's got William Forsythe, Dave. But this one stars a 1980s American footballer, Dave, called Brian Bosworth. I've got his name wrong. Brian Bosworth, Dave. This one is called Stone Cold. So let's get into the trailer. In the trailer all the time, and I used to scour the VHS shop for this. It was.
I like the start. Yeah, the brother. It's every which way but loose.
They're an underworld.
Harley Davidson.
They answer to no law. They live by one rule.
God forgives the brother that does.
Scott. Top backstory.
One man tough enough. And crazy.
Oh, I've seen the trailer for this.
Yeah. You just picked up the wrong passenger, buddy.
God, dude, this is all
covered bullet. Cup. That
doing
is.
A good job.
That is glorious.
With a bad attitude.
Fucking brilliant. He looks fucking nails.
Looks like a wrestler.
Is he a wrestler? Yeah. American footballer.
Right.
He's a massive American footballer, Dave. Like, real legendary. A few films. Some later ones as well.
If you're on the wrong side of the law, he'll leave you stone cold. Brian Bosworth. He's the outsider on the inside.
Look at his face. This has just got me written all
over. Turning up the heat. He'll burn.
I mean, there's a bigger budget than we've already just seen for sure. Oh,
it's a massive
the Matrix.
Stone cold.
Fucking brilliant, Dave. I cannot wait for that.
Oh my next word.
Week. I've had that on my radar for a while, and I have flip-flopped what I was going to do, and then I've watched this trailer quite regularly, and I'm like, we've got to fucking do this one. Oh, can't wait.
I don't think I've ever seen it, but I have definitely seen the trailer. One that I do know of its existence, but never seen it. And to be fair, it does look... I mean, what we've just done now is your classic early 90s action B-movie, isn't it? And this, definitely a bigger budget. You can tell already, can't you? But, yeah, I can't wait to watch this one now.
This is us. Fucking brilliant. Brilliant. So, massive thank you, Jack, for picking Death Ring Class, mate. And I hope you're all ready for Stone Cold. I know some of you definitely watched it. Everyone, it's in our genre of movies, Dave. So, classic Chris Phelps action stuff. And I was so thirsty for this movie. So, I couldn't wait to get my hands on it. I think it was about 2 or 3 years later. I finally saw it in probably Blockbusters. Our local video shop just had different ones. So, I think when it became Blockbuster, or there was Global as well, locally in Charlton, near where I used to live. So brilliant. But anyway, if you want to email us, the VHS Strikes Back at gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media at VHS Strikes Back, as always, please get over to patreon.com/the VHS Strikes Back. If you want to support us, you can get over there now and become a free member as well, guys. If you want to support the podcast, the more the merrier, come and join us. We do appreciate all support, past and present. So, the roll call of honour for today. And a massive thank you to Mr. Tony Farina, John Hammond, Blake, Maths, Jack, Herb, Lucky Lulu Green, Kent Gustafson, Heath, Matt, Timothy, Susan, Justin, Dan, Trent, Stephen, Dylan, Helen, Lee, and our newest Patreon and one of our good friends, Dave, the amazing Mr. Mike Burton from Star Wars Comics in Canon, Dave, has become a Patreon. So we will be doing a podcast with Mike when it's his pick, won't we, Dave? So welcome, Mike, and thank you for supporting the podcast, mate. You are an absolute legend.
Absolutely. And I happen to know what that is, but I'm going to keep it to myself. So we'll see. We'll do that in a couple of weeks.
Oh, good stuff, Dave. Brilliant, Dave. And obviously, this movie was laced with trivia. And no, it wasn't. The only trivia was basically, as you said earlier, that the main stars were related to proper stars. That's the only trivia on IMDb. I'm paraphrasing there, which is amazing. And the one thing that wasn't, Dave, which I'm going to ask you, is there's no quote. So what are you going to take us out with today?
Well, for once, it's only taken, Chris, how long have we been doing this across all the podcasts?
Five years
or something like that.
6 years, but, I think.
But I realised, because I watched this quite a bit before you, and I realised that I was thinking, shit, I don't actually remember anything about it. And I had a moment there, and I was like scampering, so I ended up, you know, putting on, you know, skipping through a bit quicker again. I was like, oh, right, now I remember and stuff. And I did pick up, because there were some attempts at making those action movie one-liners. You know, we've spoken about the Iceman one, and it's there's the guy who's at the kind of poker table. He's like, I'm down 100 G's and I don't even have a sweat on my balls for my trouble. And then talked about the lamest, wimpiest geek as well. But I thought the one that fell so fucking flat, it was unbelievable, because again, it's just that attempt, and I kind of appreciate the attempt. But I'll leave you with a line where, you know, Matt's got his kill on there. You know, he's doing quite well out in the wilderness, you know, and he's killing off some of his assassins. And he's on the phone to our main protagonist, played by Billy Drago there. And he says, your Mr. Chin is now Mr. Dead.
I think you delivered it better than them.
Chris, it's been so much fun to go through this woeful movie. But thank you very much, sir, for indulging us. Thanks to all our listeners. Thanks to all our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now?
What are we going to do?
Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's odd.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
Run! Run! Get to the chopper!
One ring to go.
All right.
Ding, ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad, ain't so bad, ain't so bad. Ain't so bad, ain't nothing.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid fool.
Yeah, maybe
you're stupid.
I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool, he's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 miles.